The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Albeit injured, I'm sure he'd love to be out there, and I'm speaking about former Fremantle Docker. He's probably not sick of being referred to that because he was a great player for the Dockers. But now a Magpie, Chris Mayne, injured at boundary side with our own Darren Parkin.
Thanks, guys. And Chris, we'll start there. How is the recovery coming? And I guess an estimated return date?
Yeah, the recovery's coming really well. The back each day is getting better. And now it's just about trying to tick the last few boxes to get myself right and give myself the opportunity to put my hand up again. So unfortunately, not too sure on return date. More just about now ticking boxes, getting myself right and ready to go.
Just saw Mason Cox walk past. There's obviously another one who's battling an injury concern at the moment, which gives Ben Reid an opportunity. But last week's game, obviously it was all going beautifully sort of just before halftime. The Bombers sort of came back strong in the second half. What was the main theme to sort of take out of that where you were able to hang on late?
Yeah, look, going into the game, we knew they were a quality side. We knew that they'd been kind of the midfield of the competition in form-wise, and that it was going to be an arm wrestle throughout the game. And we felt that we let them get back into their game, play their style, and with that, in saying that, they were able to put scoreboard pressure on and get close enough. But to the credit to the boys, able to hold on. And games of footy are hard to win. No matter how you do it, as long as you can find ways to win, that goes to show that the side's still doing what's expected when the time counts.
Chris, thanks for joining us on K-Rock Footy. Darren Berry upstairs, Benny Cass, Cassinelia, Heath Bucker, Lee Brown. We're trying to make you feel at home. We've got a former Fremantle player up here as well in Lee Brown and Lauren Wood. I want to start with that question. Moving across from the West to come back into Melbourne, the environment, how have you found the difference between the two teams in Perth versus the magnitude of footy in Melbourne?
Yeah, look, at the time when I made the decision with my wife now, it was about probably both of us living our kind of childhood dreams. And for my wife, Britt, for her, it was to come to Melbourne. That's where she had the most opportunity. So when we realised that, it was the ability to go, where do I want to play my footy? And looking at Collingwood and the list they had, I felt like that was where I was going to play my best footy, and we were going to hopefully have an opportunity at playing finals and the ultimate success, which we came close to. But the actual magnitude of probably what Collingwood is, I didn't quite grasp until being in the spotlight very early, that it's a big club and got a lot of scrutiny, a lot of media, a lot of extra external noise happening. So it was challenging at the start, but as the story goes, I was able to fight my way through it, had great support from wife, friends, family, people around me, and to come out on the other end and play consistent footy and then finals footy definitely goes a long way, and hopefully having a sustained career at Collingwood and hopefully many more years to come.
Speaking with injured Magpie Chris Mayne, and to fire the next question, former Fremantle Docker Lee Brown.
Mayne, good luck with the rehabilitation and getting back on the park, but you spoke about the battle to get through the form and then to now be playing a really important role in the team. Can you tell us about the move to the wing? Was that something Bucks discussed, or maybe a midfield coach, or is it something you brought to the table yourself and said, look, there's a role here, I think I can play something a little bit different?
Yeah, look, at the beginning of my start at Collingwood, I obviously came across as a forward, pressure forward, one that would play my role and do everything I can for the team, and didn't quite unfold that way throughout the year. And I looked at the side and thought, well, where's the possibility that I could maybe come in or play a different role for the side? And at the end of the year, with everything being said and done, I just had obviously had your extra meetings and had a great, honest conversation with Bucks and with everyone else involved in the room, and just said, this is what I'm going to do to better myself, and I'm going to go away. I had a program in the off season, which myself and my wife didn't go away. We spent 12 weeks just training. We hired a sprint coach in Bowden, and we also hired a gym to trainer at the gym just to work with me 24/7 and try and improve my strength and speed and endurance. So from that, in saying that, came back and gave myself the best possibility to fit in. But obviously, it didn't start great in 18. I was still playing in the VFL, but I was still performing pretty well, and then was given the opportunity, and once that came, I just didn't want to look back, so I was able to stick it out for the rest of the season and play a role in finals.
You mentioned how you changed your game off field. Has there been any players around the club that you've really sought out, a side bottom or a Pendlebury, to make that transfer into the midfield a little bit easier for yourself?
Yeah, look, I think when you have a quality midfield as we do, like, I always pick their brains. You know, I've become really close with Pendles and really trying to pick his brain about the game plan or situational positions, playing the wing, playing inside in stoppages, how to look, you know, at the ruckman and how to move across the ground by working closely with Steele and Flip. So when you have players of that calibre, and I think the best teaching always comes from players, so utilising their expertise and trying to make myself a better player, that's something that they can trust on game day.
Chris, it's Lauren here. Hopefully the boys can get the job done here under the roof tonight. Just to go back to your current injury for a moment, don't want to dwell on the negatives, but I can't imagine there's too many people here at Marvel Stadium that are walking around with a broken back at this point. So I sort of find this stuff pretty fascinating. What are you actually doing in your rehab? What can you do? Or is this kind of the excuse we all need to be using to lay on the couch all day tomorrow and not do much? Where are you at?
Yeah, to be honest, laying on the couch is one of the best things you can do. obviously having the fractures in both my L2 and L3, which is an ideal, but it's really hard to get to apparently, and I found that amusing when they told me that. I was able to break both of them. So for me, it's just, I had rest on the first probably few days, and then it's just about getting up and getting movement again. I think the doctors have said that structurally it looks really good as we had another look at it, and now it's just about kind of pain, how I can manage pain and manage everything that it kind of gets me going, and then being out there and doing everything that you do on a footy field, cut, weave, jump, get hit, get back up, hit someone. So once I can start ticking all those boxes off, then I can start to put my hand up to play again.
What about the wider club at the moment? I was down at the Holden Centre a couple of days ago working on a column for this weekend with Tyson Goldsack, of course, a great teammate of yours who unfortunately, like you, is out of the side at the moment. He was talking about the real shift for players over recent years to really just be themselves. They're all seeing Nathan Buckley's done it. We saw him on front bar last week and that was a great hit too. And it seems just like a really fun place to be at the moment. And there's, you know, everyone's doing their thing. There's a lot of interesting haircuts going on as well. Darcy Moore being, I think, the number one offender there. But it does feel like there's been a real shift and fun is the number one item on the agenda. Well, probably behind winning, of course.
Yeah, obviously, winning does help that, but I think as we've seen, especially from last year into this year, that, you know, win or lose, that the attitude from the playing group and coaches led from Bucks down is about enjoyment, about coming in, striving to be better, but in saying so, actually being yourself, having your own personality and everyone kind of being involved with one another and enjoying it. So I think when you have that at a club, that everything's enjoyable and fun, you actually enjoy getting up in the morning, coming to work, and then, you know, you learn and you work hard and you improve and everyone just enjoys it, and you muck around, you have a good laugh, and, you know, that's the best thing about it. So I think the close group that we have, you see everyone just enjoying each moment that they have at the day.
Chris, thanks for diagnosing my ailment. I've 15 years that no one's been able to diagnose it. I've got a broken back. I've been on the couch for 15 years, so I now know why I've been on the couch. Who's obviously third year now at the Pies, and you would know the guys extremely well. Who's a player that you know really well now who's very different to how you thought he might have been before you joined the footy club?
Wow, good question. I think my first year, it was really starting to build the relationship. So I was kind of just, you know, sussing it all out. Jack Crisp was one that, you know, when I was looking from the outside, I didn't expect him to be so forward. And when I first come to the club, it was get coffees, hang out, you know, talk a bit of banter and have a bit of a laugh. But getting to know Pendles, you know, when I'm playing against him, he seems like such a serious bloke that, you know, does everything by the T, dots the I's, crosses the T's, and you think that's the type of person that he'll be off the field as well. But his character and the way he likes to enjoy his moments, gets all the players involved, mucks around with the boys in the gym, and having your captain, you know, set that tone, it just makes everyone else fall in behind and actually enjoy themselves. You know, you're not walking around eggshells, even though in saying that, like, he works extremely hard as you'd expect, but knowing that your skipper does that and gets around you and really builds the relationships, it just makes things so enjoyable. And for one person sitting on the outside, you know, he's a brilliant player, but he has that side of him as well.
No, that's a great insight, Chris, because we do, you know, we sit up here watching games and you see how people play on the field, and you've just probably enlightened us with a different side of Scott Pendlebury that we don't see. Our final one, mate, and then we'll let you go and lie on the couch, is Jordan DeGoey. He's one of our favourite players. He's probably a lot of people's favourite players. But how good do you think this kid can be? Because for me, he's got everything in the package that goes to being an elite player, and I love watching him play.
Yeah, look, Geordie's got so much upside to his game. He's got the ability to go inside, he can play forward, he has that X factor about him, but the thing that I think is good from the club and good from the leadership group and coaches, just let Geordie be Geordie. You know, don't need to throw him into all this spotlight media.
Okay.
Just let him handle his business and go about it, and then, you know, whatever happens on game day happens. And I think that's what we've been able to see. You know, it's not been pumped up that it's Geordie, it's this, it's that, it's X Factor. It's just letting him be him and have that personality, that character around the club, and then letting him enjoy football, which is really great. You know, when you've got a young player like that that has the potential to break open games, just let them be themselves, and they'll go out there and play footy like they've done since the Oz kick, and they'll love it. So that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing a player just enjoying football and being a part of you know, a really successful side.
Last one before we let you go, Chris, have you had a word to the footy god, your 200th game? Does he actually like footy, do you reckon, the footy god? Because
I know.
Must have been you'd work so hard to get there and injured so early. I imagine you would have had a lot of family and friends at the game, and it must have been a little, although you disappointing result in the end for you after you'd worked so hard to get there.
Yeah, look, it was an amazing build-up, one that lasted 5 minutes. But, look, to have Mum and Dad came over, which I blame them at this stage, because the last four games that Mum and Dad have seen, one was Frio, the last game of last season. I got injured in the game and didn't really play it out. And then it was the qualifying final they came to and we lost. And then it was the grand final they came to and we lost. And then they came to my 200 and I only played 5 minutes. So I've told Mum and Dad that they're done for the rest of the year. They can stay at home and watch. But it was just a little bit sweet in a way that the boys were still able to fight out a great win, get the job done. But I tried my hardest to be there for the actual song in the circle, and unfortunately, yeah, my back wasn't giving me much, so a little bit of disappointment in that regard that I couldn't see it out, but just really proud of the boys to get the job done, and in a way it'll still be special.
Chris, we really appreciate you being so generous with your time tonight. We wish you all the best in your recovery, and we look forward to calling many more Chris Mayne games for the Maggies.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Chris Mayne at Boundary Site Prestige Jayco bringing us our pre-match interview.
The Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.